Pastor John Randall says, expect to be tempted when you're at your weakest.
How the enemy loves to come to us in those moments of weakness. Maybe you feel lonely. Maybe you're overcome with depression. Maybe you've suffered loss. It's a weak moment. And the enemy will seek to tempt you to act outside of the will of God. And he'll lie to you that if you pursue this or you take of that, this will help you. And by the way, you know what? You deserve it. You've suffered a little bit. You've had some hard times. You know what? You justify it in your mind. It's a temptation. Don't believe the lie.
Temptation. It's something we all face in our daily walk, whether it's to look at something on the internet that we shouldn't, lash out in anger, or even worry when a trial hits. Today on A Daily Walk, we'll recall a time in Jesus' life when he was tempted. It'll serve to help us the next time temptation strikes our own lives. We're in Matthew chapter 4. And Pastor John Randall first offers a few observations about the timing of the temptation.
Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, if you'd follow along with me. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." The word temptation has been defined in the following way. Temptation is a state experienced when a person thinks thoughts, considers intentions, or desires things which are contrary to the thoughts, intents, and desires of Almighty God. And when those thoughts are fulfilled through action, when those intentions are translated into achievements, and those desires are satisfied by accomplishment, and sin is committed. Temptation is a link in the chain of circumstances that lead to death. Every single one of us here this morning will be confronted with temptation. You see, when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and you come out of darkness into the light, you have an enemy, the devil. You're now engaged in spiritual warfare. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. When Paul wrote to young Timothy, he said, "Timothy, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And no soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this world in order that he may please the one who enlisted him. Oh, the world will seek to ensnare you and entangle you, but if you're a soldier of Jesus Christ, you seek to fight against that and avoid it. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said to them that they were to take up the whole armor of God, that they would be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all to stand, he said, "Stand therefore." One of the devices that the devil will use and cannot be ignored is that of temptation. And in the passage before us this morning, we see our Lord encountering what is common to every person. Now, let me say that there is a difference between temptation and testing. Temptation, which is of the devil, the flesh, and the world, and testing, which is of God. In the first instance, the word implies enticement to do evil, while the second, the connotation is an event or process that proves one's character. It determines the depth and integrity of one's commitment to God. Jesus knew what it's like to be tempted and to be victorious over temptation. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." He knows what it's like. And because he knows what it's like and he has experienced it himself in his humanity, the Bible says he can assist us. For in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "He has suffered being tempted. He is able to aid those who are being tempted." As we consider our Lord's confrontation with the devil, we discover how he was victorious and how we also can find victory. Jesus overcame temptation. I want to consider with you this morning, first of all, the temptation of Christ, and secondly, the temptation of a Christian. As we look at the temptation of Jesus, make note, first of all, of the timing in which the temptation occurred in Jesus' life. It says in verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Remember that before Jesus went into the wilderness, he was baptized by John there in the Jordan River. And at his baptism, the Spirit of God came upon him and empowered him. The Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But now, after that glorious experience, Jesus is led into the wilderness. Mark's gospel uses the word driven. Jesus was driven into the wilderness. This wilderness where Jesus went, it was hot, it's barren, it's desolate. It extends 35 miles long and 15 miles wide. It's right near the Dead Sea. The sand is very yellow and it's like crumbling limestone all around you. The hills are dust heaps. Rocks are barred and jagged. It's a desolate, very lonely place. But when did the temptation occur for Jesus? You know what happened? Right after an amazing spiritual blessing in his life. The temptation occurred after his baptism. What an amazing demonstration for everybody. John said, this is the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sins of the world. The Father speaks. I mean, this was a spiritual mountaintop, if you could say such a thing. And this was just an amazing experience. It was right after that that the devil came in and tried to tempt the Lord. Start of his ministry. This is where the devil came. This is when he came. J.C. Ryle said it this way. He said, quote, for Christ as well as his followers, there is often but one step from great privilege to great trial. Have you found that to be true, Christian? God does something amazing in your life. God comes through, or maybe you're on a retreat, or maybe you have this wonderful experience with the Lord, or you come out of your times of devotion with the Lord, and right after you get in your car, did the devil just get on the freeway? I mean, something is happening, just trying to rob you of everything that you just received, trying to strip it from you. Temptation is around the corner. You go from the mountaintop right into the valley. And let me just say to you, you're not alone in that. So many of God's servants, that was their experience. I think of Elijah, a mountain man to be sure. He was up there on Mount Carmel, battling the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, calling for God to answer by fire. And when the prophets of Baal had completed their exercises, nothing happened. Elijah then has the altar set up and digs the trench and puts the sacrifice there. He prays, fire comes down from heaven, consumes everything. Suddenly the people bow down and say, the Lord, he is God. And then they slew all the prophets of Baal. And then it rained. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. I mean, this was a high and holy moment. You know what happened right after that? He got a letter from Jezebel that said, you're going to die tomorrow. What did he do? He ran. He fled and he hid in a cave. He went from being a mountain man to a caveman. The thing is, he went hiding there and the Lord showed up and said, what are you doing here? He was so depressed. He just said, Lord, take my life. I want to die. How do you go from this amazing experience where fire comes down from heaven to the next day and just, let's just end it all? I mean, it was temptation. I think of Israel when they were delivered from Egypt, they were rejoicing, and then right after Pharaoh pursued them. I think of the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. They see Jesus glorified. They come down the hill and there's a demon-possessed boy that needed to be delivered. Our Lord's temptation came right after a moment of great spiritual blessing. But I also want to say to you, it also came at a time of great physical weakness. This is even fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Of course, the purpose of fasting, as revealed in Scripture, is to detach oneself from physical and bodily appetites that constantly demand our attention for the purpose of becoming more in tune with the work of God's Holy Spirit. And there are scriptural examples and reasons for fasting. It may include seeking God's direction for your life. You've got a major decision as a family that we need to make. Fasting and prayer are helpful in those moments. Perhaps in the midst of great spiritual warfare, Again, giving yourself to prayer and fasting, or simply taking time just to hear from the Lord. Some time of just setting aside the physical appetites to allow your mind and heart to be in tune with what God might say. You know, I think in many ways, this is a lost practice of the church. You know, we think about fasting and praying. We, you know, I think for us, it's a eat, fast, and pray. I mean, that is kind of what's happened. Jesus was fasting for 40 days, and it says now he was hungry, which means the implication, he is at his weakest point. So hungry that if you don't eat something, you're going to die. When does the devil come? Weak moment. Now I'm going to hit you. Now. How the enemy loves to come to us in those moments of weakness. Maybe you feel lonely. Maybe you're overcome with depression. Maybe you've suffered loss. It's a weak moment. And the enemy will seek to tempt you to act outside of the will of God. And he'll lie to you that if you pursue this or you take of that, this will help you. And by the way, you know what? You deserve it. You've suffered a little bit. You've had some hard times. You know what? You justify it in your mind. It's a temptation. Don't believe the lie. And so he comes to Jesus at his weakest moment. But notice also the type of temptation it was. It says in verse 3, the tempter came and said, if you are the Son of God, then command these stones to become bread. There were 3 temptations that the devil tempted Jesus with. And each one of them had something to do with Jesus acting outside of the will of the Father. Now, Jesus, during his ministry, said, I always do those things that please the Father. It was his desire to do the will of the Father. In the garden, he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. That was how Jesus lived. And so the devil, seeking to get Jesus to act outside of the Father's will. And the nature of these 3 temptations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And by the way, these are the exact same temptations that the devil has been using since the beginning of time there in the book of Genesis. Same play, same playbook, same thing, just run it a different way. These temptations are the ones that we face. The first, doubt the Father's provision and love. Verse 3, he said, if you are the Son of God, better translated, since you are the Son of God, then command these stones to become bread. Satan was literally suggesting to Jesus, take matters into your own hands. Is that ever a temptation for anybody here to take matters into your own hands rather than, you know what, Lord, it's been good, but I'll take it from here. And the temptation to do it yourself without his help. And the Lord even tries to warn us through people like your wife, don't do that. And sometimes you don't listen, man. We don't listen. Vice versa. You know, it's like there's these warnings and I'm doing it. Well, Jesus had emptied himself of his divine privileges. He made a choice to lay them aside. He was dependent on the Father, empowered by the Spirit. But the devil is saying, you know what? You're the Son of God. You shouldn't have to suffer like this. This doesn't seem right that you would have to endure such hardship. You know what? Just take matters into your own hands. Change the outcome. Within the suggestion, it was the devil's desire to shatter Jesus' trust and submission to the Father by inciting doubt based upon present circumstances. Have you ever felt like that, Christian? You ever faced that temptation to doubt whether God really cares? Does he really love you? Because most people that he loves don't go through things that you go through, just so you know. That's a lie. The lie of the enemy. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be experiencing this. If God really loved you, then this wouldn't happen to you. And you know what happens when you start to doubt? It can lead very quickly to despair. It's not a far step from doubt to despair. And then you get your focus on your circumstances, and then you find yourself doubting the love and care of God. You know, if you ever find yourself doubting the love and care of God, can I give you a little antidote, what you should do? Go back to the cross. Remember the cross. Because the Bible tells us there in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God took care of the biggest problem you have, he can handle what you're encountering right now. Do not doubt the love of God. He has forever proven it, shown it clearly. Go back to the cross and remember. Satan sought to bring doubt. Well, what did Jesus do? How did Jesus respond to the first temptation? He said, notice at verse 4, it is written. with the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus quotes here from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He used the word of God. Jesus, immediately his response, because the word of God was hidden in his heart, he responds with a sword of the Spirit. Jesus found it important to feed upon God's word even more than physical food. It's always better to obey God than to compromise. Jesus told his disciples, you remember in John chapter 4, when they were at the well in Samaria, the disciples came by and they had seen that Jesus had not yet eaten. And they said, Rabbi, you need to eat something. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. I'm feeding on something else right now. It's the will of God. It would have been so easy for Jesus to justify turning stones to bread and eating them, to circumvent the will of God and to do what the flesh desires. But there is a greater need that a man has than simply satisfying his physical appetites and desires. Our physical well-being is not always the most crucial need. It's taking hold of the reality of Scripture that man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by the word of God. Can I ask you this morning, are you living by the word of God in your life? Are you seeking to live by bread alone? You can't. What physical bread is to the physical body, so is the word of God to the spiritual body. You can't just live on physical things and grow spiritually. You want to live by the word of God. It was Jeremiah that said in Jeremiah chapter 15, he said, your words were found and I ate them. And your word to me was the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I'm taking in, I'm receiving, I'm devouring the word of God. It's more necessary than my food in the morning is God's word. Are you living that way? Jesus passed the first temptation by quoting the word of God. Oh, but that wasn't the last temptation. The devil is relentless, so he comes back a second time. First temptation, doubt the will of God. Next temptation, presume on the will of God. Look at verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Oh, okay. Now the lust of the flesh that had failed, he comes with the pride of life. Here it says, hey, Jesus brings him up to this high pinnacle of the temple. Many believe that this pinnacle that is referred to here is on the eastern side of the temple, which overlooks the Kidron Valley. I think Josephus estimated, this secular historian estimated, that the top of the pinnacle to the bottom of the valley is somewhere around 450 feet high. Either way, he's up on a high place, a pinnacle overlooking everything. And the devil, what does he do? He quotes scripture. The devil said, it is written. Do you know the devil knows scripture? He quotes here from Psalm 91, out of context, not the whole verse, but he knows it. He's been twisting scripture forever. And so he says, it is written. And of course, he omits the part of the scripture where it says, he'll keep you in all your ways. See, if you're walking in the will of God, then the Lord has his hand upon you. He's protecting you, not when you're testing God, but when you're walking in obedience to God. So the devil says in essence to Jesus, okay, you want to live by the word of God? Well, let me quote you some scripture. Again, quoted it wrong, not in its full context. You know, the Bible refers to the devil as an angel of light. He seeks to deceive. This fallen angel knows scripture. He can twist it. And that's why it's important to compare scripture with scripture. You know how cults get started? They take scriptures out of context. Not in their proper context. They don't compare with other scripture, because when you compare with other scripture, you see that's inconsistent and their interpretation is incorrect, because you're contradicting the word of God, and God's word doesn't contradict itself. So if there's not a problem with the word of God, there's a problem with your interpretation of the word of God. So Satan twists the scriptures. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. You remember? He came to Eve, and what did he say? Did God say? Of course he said it. But he said, did God say that? And then he seeks, well, let me tell you what God meant by that. He said, you're going to die, not surely die. I mean, there's a difference. I mean, just misquoting scripture. And Eve starts listening to it. And Satan does this all the time. He comes to the believer and says, listen, you're under grace. You're under grace, okay? You're not under the law. You're under grace. You have liberty. You need to celebrate it. Hey, there's other Christians that celebrate their liberty. Come on now. And he begins to twist it and use God's grace as a license for carnality and sin. Paul said, listen, should we sin so that grace might abound? No, certainly not. Some people live that way. They believe the lie. The devil twists it for them. Listen, if you sin, God will forgive you. So don't worry about it, you know? Tomorrow's a new day. Tonight is tonight. Tomorrow you can repent and go to church and get right. Okay? And God's merciful. And God could actually be glorified. I mean, it's just all of the things that we try to rationalize and justify what we're doing using God's word, somehow twisting it to fit our own benefit. Hey, listen, God is love. You should live with her. No, you shouldn't. Not unless she's your wife. You know, God is merciful. Jesus turned water into wine. Get plastered. You know, no. That's not a proof text for drunkenness. What are you thinking? You're thinking the way the devil thinks. You're twisting it. You're using it to justify what you're doing. Do not do that. You will fall into temptation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:9, don't let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as they tested the Lord. You know, there are those that at times will actually put themselves in a position of danger in temptation. And then when they fall, guess who they blame? God. Lord, I don't know how this happened, you know. I don't know, how could you let this happen to me? I went into the bar, I sat at the counter. I mean, I don't understand like why, why it happened. I mean, I know people were offering me drinks and I didn't have to pay, but you should have delivered me. What are you doing in there? Why are you there? I don't know what happened. What do you mean you don't know what happened? It was late, it was like 1 o'clock and we were parked and it was dark and nobody was around and we had the slow jams on and like, I don't know, like, I smell that perfume. Okay, you realize what happened? You like put yourself in that place and you're surprised. God, how could you let this happen? How did God let it happen? I'm pretty sure it was you. Actually, it was you. But we want to blame God. Don't put yourself in that place. You know the best way to not give in to temptation is don't run after it. Like run from it. If it's tempting, don't go there. The Bible says, can a man take fire into his stomach and not get burned? Let me just see if I can. Oh, that's hot. You're going to get torched. Don't do that. It's like with temptation. How close can I get to the edge today? Oh, Pastor John, I just don't fall over. I mean, any fool could do this. It's not hard. Are you guys nervous? I don't want to test the Lord. I'm not testing him. I'm 50. I'm not going over. I might not get back up. I'm almost a part of the 55 plus. I'm really excited about it. Anyways, I'm back. I don't want to get close to it. Some people, that's how they live their life. Come on, deliver me, God. Oh, I'm dancing on the edge. Help me, Jesus. Why are you doing that? Back up. Run the opposite way. That was the point I'm making.
So rather than running after temptation, we're to run from it. A good word there for us as we close out another A Daily Walk. Pastor John Randall's message on the temptation of the king can be heard again at adailywalk.org or through the Calvary South OC app. And I should also mention, John is on Twitter and Instagram. You can start following him on Twitter at PJRandall7 and on Instagram at John P. Randall. Well, maybe you've noticed that a simple message on a t-shirt can often lead to some great conversation. Today, we'd like to offer you one of our latest tees. It's the Jesus is Alive, Hope is Alive t-shirt. Take a look at it right now in our online store at adailywalk.org. We'll send it to you for the special price of $15. You'll get it just in time for Easter. And who knows, maybe it will lead to a conversation about the glorious gospel. We can also take your request if you call us at 877-242-0828. Thank you for your prayerful and financial support of A Daily Walk. It really is having an impact. Not long ago, we expanded our reach into a couple of nationwide networks. Now, this was a big step of faith for us, but we're trusting the Lord to provide. And maybe some of that provision will come through you. If you'd like to donate to the ministry, please go to adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. And we are very grateful to the Lord when we hear back from our listeners. Write to Pastor John today by email at adailywalk@gmail.com. You know, he loves to read listener letters and emails. Let him know what's going on in your life and how we can pray for you at adailywalk@gmail.com. Maybe you're one of our new listeners. Let us know what you think of A Daily Walk when you write to us at adailywalk@gmail.com. Well, we looked at the temptation of Christ today on A Daily Walk, and next time we'll consider the temptation of the Christian. Come back after the weekend when our study in the Gospel of Matthew resumes with Pastor John Randall. A Daily Walk is a presentation of Calvary South OC.